Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church on this nice, chilly October morning. It's not supposed to be this cold yet. I'd like to start off saying good morning to everyone. And I know there's several people that have several announcements. We're going to start with Miss Windrow. Speak up. Okay, November the 7th, starting at 8 to 4. Okay, Miss Elizabeth, about the Operation Christmas Child. Okay, and Patrick. Okay. Debbie? Okay.
Does anybody need directions to the Strasser Farm? Everybody knows how to get there?
Are there any other, Patrick? Are there any other general announcements? Miss Mary Jo? Miss Mary Jo. Okay. Ma'am? Okay, that's fine. I'm going to ask, are there any first-time visitors before I get to the prayer list? Or we all know everybody, huh? Okay, that's great. Any prayer or praise concerns? Miss Melanie?
My daughter Elizabeth is back from Mexico where she, at Wednesday night service, I asked for prayer to get her back here safely. She has swollen lymph nodes and pain in her neck, and we're not sure, kind of undiagnosed, but just prayer. She's already receiving the peace that we prayed for, and now pray for healing.
Yes, Harold? We will. Skylar. What was his name?
Jerry Hopper.
Oh, Jerry Hopper. Okay. Okay, thank you, Skylar. Linda. Hi, Tyler. Go ahead. Linda. Go ahead, Linda.
Thanks, everybody, for all the prayers and cards and best wishes and food for our son, Scott, that had a motorcycle accident. He's doing much better. He's still in a lot of pain, very impatient. But he's still alive. He's in good shape compared to a lot of other children at home. Praise God.
Is that the same thing you had your hand up for, Emily? You didn't? Okay, are there any others? Oh, go ahead, Taylor. I have to turn around to see you.
Well, my sister-in-law, Grace, just having a lot of things going on. Just beg her in prayer. Just leave all the other details to God. And also the family of Eugene Gregory, the guy I toured with back in the 80s, and he died suddenly of a heart attack. family. He was a music minister in Oklahoma and Tulsa, but just praying for the family of Eugene Griffin.
Are there any others?
Family.
Oh, Charles? Okay. Okay. Yaroslav?
Helia just came up to me and she asked me to pray, asked me to pray about my mom. She got laid off from her job and I'm trying to arrange a project down over here for the Christian students and for my graduation.
Okay. Are there any others?
Yes. This morning at first service, Joyce Loveless, whom we've been praying for, has passed away. So pray for her family.
If there are no others at this time, let's pause for a moment of silence and prepare our minds for worship. If you will please stand for our call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those He redeemed from the hand of the foe.
For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol Him, all you heathen.
For great is His love towards us.
And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Forever, God is in us, forever, forever. Lord God, for your love, for your care, for your concern, for your help. And Lord, to know that it is never ending, but you extend it toward your creation forever and ever. We come as your redeemed people. We come to proclaim your goodness, your mercy, your salvation, your foreverness. Thank you that we could come together in your name. Thank you that we could sing to you. Thank you for voices, the ability to just stand before you and bathe in your presence. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us this morning in the manner that we need to be spoken to. And only you know that. Lord, we may have our concerns and our hopes, and we pray that you would fulfill them if it be your will. Speak to us, use us, and allow us to speak to you in praise and worship, and speak for you in this place and when we go out into the world. And we come asking in Jesus' name, even asking and praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you.
now for the Apostles' Creed on page 716 in the hymnal or up on the screen behind me. And it is in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confession this morning is taken from Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will freely pardon. Our prayer of confession, if you'd like to follow along, is in unison. We pray for forgiveness for the sake. For choosing power over service, forgive us. For seeking glory rather than humility, forgive us. For pushing ourselves to the front when our presence is needed on the sidelines, forgive us. Help us know where we are needed and how best to serve you and your people. Guide us to your side that we might be your hands of healing and compassion. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our words of assurance. Christ, our high priest, guides us gently back to the path of walking with God and serving our neighbor. And now if you can turn to page 381 for another hymn.
Thank you.
our offertory sentence this morning is taken from Luke 12:48. From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. If the ushers will please come forward. children's time with Miss Andrea. And if y'all want to come over here and have a seat over here now, that'd be great. And we have children's church with Miss Jennifer.
Good morning. Let me hear that again. Good morning. You know, this is one of those mornings where I have all these things going through my mind, and it's really hard on me to settle on one thing. But I do know this. God loves us so much, and God puts us where we need to be. But what we've got to do is we've got to open our eyes and see that we need to be there. Sometimes we don't want to see where we're needed, but it's important that we look, because that's where we're going to feel God's love most, and we're going to extend that love out to those that need it. The last week or so, Mr. Larry and I have been so busy, but I tell you what, I like it better when I'm really busy. We've had a wedding, we've had a funeral, we've had my parents' anniversary, we've had the grandkids at the house most all the time, we've had a friend's girls, college girls staying with us because their grandfather died, we've had three dogs in the house instead of two, you know, and it's all okay. It's just what we need to be watching for, because you know whose hands and feet we are? If we're believers in Christ, whose hands and feet are we?
God.
That's right. And we need to take His message to each and every person that we see. And you know what? You may only see that person one time. You may never see him again, but you'll never know the effect that you'll have on that person. I do want to tell you one sweet thing that happened this week. We took my mom and dad out for their anniversary. My mom can't get out and do much until after 12:31 o'clock or so. It's hard for her to get going. She's got Parkinson's and some other medical things, and we finally got her to use a walker with a seat, and she won't use a wheelchair yet, but she will use a walker with a seat. And so we took her to Cracker Barrel, and we had lunch. And while we were having lunch, when the little server came up to get our order, my daddy leaned over to mom and said, "Sugar, what do you want?" And the little server said, "You've been married how long?" And he said, 61 years. And she said, "And you still call her Sugar?" And she said, "Lord, I haven't had my husband call me Sugar in I don't know how long." And she wasn't that old. And I just thought that was, you know, that was an example that really touched that lady. And I bet she went home and told her husband, "What do you bet?" So remember that, fellas, and ladies too. Sugar, honey, whatever, maybe we should do that. And we might all make it 61 years too. Let's go up and sing with Miss Smith.
Tell me this week, whatever happens, praise God. In the good and in the bad, praise God. We're going to sing, praise him, all you little children. God is love, God is love. Praise him, all you little children. God is love, God is love.
Yeah.
And then one night, as Wednesday night, Mr. Peter said, the only prayer we need to really pray is three words long, and it's just thank you.
Do.
So, Tyler, we're going to say, thank him, all you little children.
My scripture lesson this morning is from Matthew. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? Or what shall I drink? Or what shall I wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and you, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Every once in a while, somebody will say that they didn't understand what the response was sought in a sermon. What are we supposed to do? Well, some sermons call for a particular response. And this one, we'll get to that point. But some sermons are just for our learning, our spiritual nourishment, if you will. So we're just supposed to drink it in and make it a part of our lives. So this sermon may be a little of both, but maybe more of just understanding and holding something for the time that we really need it. And if you need to make a public response or something similar, maybe a private response, that is certainly all right with me. But every sermon doesn't call for that. It's just good news of Jesus Christ. And if you've already claimed him as your Savior, all you can say is amen, praise the Lord, and then maybe get ready to share him with somebody. That could be a response. But part of it could be just to say, thank you, Lord. God cares. He cares for you, and he cares for me. These verses speak to God's care. They're just two that speak of God's care. I'll share a bunch more verses this morning, passages of Scripture, if you will. But we need a Scripture lesson, and this is certainly appropriate to state that God cares for us. Matthew chapter 6, and then Matthew chapter 10. How many themes do you think are in the Bible? How many subjects? About anything that you could mention.
or anything that you need to mention, and some maybe that we don't need to mention, you can find a word about them in the Bible. Some people say you can prove or disprove anything about the Bible, just about anything, and that's right. I still remember P.J. a long time ago, P.J. Franciscan, kept wondering about dinosaurs. And Job and the Psalmist, both those books, mention Leviathans, if I said it right. And then our oldest grandson, he came into the world thinking about dinosaurs. And dinosaurs consume his world. Had a sore toe this week. And they said, "What happened to your toe?" And he said, "A dinosaur bit it." So what we think, what happened to the dinosaurs, we think that they're mentioned in the Bible. We've interpreted that word as being one about dinosaurs. And I had to go search a little bit. I couldn't just bring that up that quick. You remember that, Pete? And how we searched for that and had a little pamphlet about the dinosaurs that I found somewhere. But of the great themes in the Bible we have considered recently, we talked about creation. Maybe that was last week. Did we talk about creation last week? We talked about God. It's going to be the people of God. That's a good subject to talk on, or to preach on, or to think about, or to dwell on, or to study. Think about God. Study about God. Learn about God. Respond to God. Get to know God as your friend, the God who cares for us. We talk about God's will, what God desires for His people to do. And we talked about God's Word, the Bible, Scriptures. And this morning I want to talk about God's care. Or it's referred to as God's providence. God's providence has, I think, been at work in my life, but He's also been at work at yours. I recognize it. It took me a long time before I could recognize it. Today, 41 years that Carol has put up with me. And that's the truth. And I even was, well, don't need to air our frustrated, I frustrated her last night, you know. But she handed me the TV changer, you know. And I didn't take it. I didn't need it right then. She ought to hit me with it, shouldn't she? But she did. 41 years, but I see that it was God's providence that put us together. I really do. Sent me from the flatlands of eastern Mississippi, the rolling hills, let's say, of eastern Mississippi, across the flatlands of west Tennessee and eastern Arkansas up in those hills. Got me up there to preach. And then we met. I can see God's care, direction in all of that. If I'm wrong, that's all right. If He wasn't doing it, I won't falsely accuse Him, but I see it. And it's been a blessing. Oh, what a blessing for me. Not sure what it's been for her. But, y'all can ask her. And I think she's going to be real nice, though. I want you, us all to think about it. That's a little personal thing. I want you all to think about. Let's all think about how God has cared for us, is caring for us, and know, just know that He will continue to care for us if we allow Him to. And even when we rebel against Him and hope to talk about God's care for us, even after we rebel next week. So we get a little preview. The rebel, maybe with a cause, or maybe a rebel without a cause. I believe that was a movie of a long time ago. And so it's about people and their rebellion. Now that could change before, even in the morning, but anyhow. We talk about God's care for His people. I'm thinking of God's providence. It was providential that this happened. It was God's direction, if you will, or at God's movement. God guides us, and He is still guiding us. And He'll keep on guiding us.
popular TV show of a number of years back. It's in reruns now. If you flip through the channel, maybe it's a TV Land or others. I'm not sure where it is. You'll find the Golden Girls. How many remember the Golden Girls? How many watched them this week, maybe? Oh, I asked a young person. Said, yes, I used to watch the Golden Girls with my mom. And sat there and I guess a good experience. Who was one of the stars? Three women. Dorothy. Her name was Bea Arthur. She just died recently, I think. And she also was a part of another show. And do you remember what that was? Got it. And Ma had a often stated phrase that she would say. When somebody didn't do as she thought they ought to do, what would Maud say?
God will get you for that.
And, I mean, she said it over and over because she was often angry or frustrated with people. And to hear that, to me, that leaves the impression that God is sitting up in heaven watching us and just waiting for us to do something wrong or something that displeases Him, and He's going to get us for it. Maybe slap us with the backhand or a front hand or what? Does it conjure up those kind of thoughts in your mind? What do you say when God's going to get you for that? And the tone of voice that Maud would use in saying that. Like, you better watch out. I'm calling God to get after you. Like, I'm going to have God to sick you, sick God on you. God doesn't work that way. But that was the kind of, if you didn't know anything else about God, you could come to think about that if you learned it all from the show Maud. And I started to say Dorothy, but from Maud speaking. And I remember as a youngster, and maybe not such a youngster, thinking of God in that way. That He was just waiting for me to mess up where He could beat up on me. And it's not a very good way to live. You kind of live in fear. He calls us to fear Him, but it's more respect Him. But don't tremble before Him, afraid He won't. Going to hurt us because He wants to hurt us and enjoy hurt us. Because as you read the Bible, even the Old Testament, where He is punishing His people, all of His punishment even is to call them back unto Himself. He's doing it out of love. That's hard to see. I know it is even as adults, but it's certainly hard to see as children when the parents say, I'm doing this for your own good and because I love you. And after a while, the parent gets to the point of saying, I'm doing it just because I'm bigger than you. And I'm not sure it's always out of love when us parents, but God corrects His people because not because He's just bigger than us and because He can, but because He loves us. He wants us to live righteously. He wants us to live righteous lives. And so, as you read the Bible more and more, it reveals to us, or it shows us, a loving God. A God who is sad when we do wrong. A God who hurts. It hurts them emotionally when we do wrong. And if Jesus paid for our sins, our wrongs, on the cross, some preachers have preached, and I may have, that it's just another nail into His flesh when we do wrong. Are we hurting Him? There's Bible verses that indicate that we're hurting Him all over again. But there's also Bible verses that says it is finished. He has paid the price. Thanks be to God. But it is a good warning to say, don't hurt Jesus all over again. Not sure that we can. Don't know if I'm that deep in understanding Jesus and God and sin and forgiveness, but we don't need to go much further than that. I just want to say first that God takes care of us. He sent His Son to pay for our sin.
to take the punishment that we deserve, take it upon himself, so that we would not have to suffer it. Oh, that's caring. That's love, isn't it? See, that punishment we deserve is spiritual death. Not just having our body hurt for a while. You know, I heard a lot growing up. I'd rather have a whipping. I'd rather be whipped than talked to, because the talking to could go on and on and on, the whipping, you finally get over it. As a parent doing this, I never liked the whipping. I could cry. I'd rather listen, I think, than to get stricken. Is that the word? Is that a good word? Or get punished? But our sin separates us from God. And Jesus paid the penalty for our sin to reconcile us to God. What love and what care. We were alienated from God, separated from Him. And Jesus comes to earth. God sends Him. And He pays for that which separates us, so we can be in fellowship with God. One of the great messages of the Bible, and therefore one of the great messages of the church. Did I get behind? There we go. I'm sorry. One of the great messages of the Bible, and one of the great messages of the church, or it ought to be, and I've tried to make it a part of the churches where I would, is that God has provided for our eternity. Now, we haven't talked only about God providing for our eternity. We've talked much, much, much about how God desires that we live in this world, because that's where we still are. But God also has provided for after this world, or after this life. So, He provides for where we can spend eternity. The Young Life singers, what they sing? Come and go with me to that land. To that land. It's a reference to heaven. It's a reference to heaven. John chapter 14, the most familiar one. If you've been to a funeral where I've been the preacher at the funeral, you probably heard me read it. Oftentimes I do. John chapter 14. I go, Jesus is talking. I go, He says, to prepare a place for you. I go, He says, Jesus says it, to prepare a place for you. God has provided a place where we can spend eternity. A place. John chapter 14. Oh my. These disciples even did not understand. He talks, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that you can be with me. Where I am, you can be also. He tells the disciples that. And then he goes on talking about, and you know how to get there. And one of the disciples said, we don't even know where it is, Lord. How are we going to know how to get there? They were a little slow, right? But not much slower than people today. Present company excluded, you know. Okay. So he provided a place. Revelation. You like to have a sermon on Revelation? Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. It's still about the place. The dwelling place of God is with men. Or people will get to live with God. And He will live with them. Okay? They will be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And then this is a description or the situation at that place. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There'll be no more death. our mourning, our crying, our pain. For the old order of things has passed away. A place. God cares enough for us to prepare a place where we can spend eternity with Him. A loving God. One who cares for us and one who takes care of us. Not only has He provided a place for us, He has provided a way to get there. That's what the disciples said. We don't know where it is, Lord. How do we know how to get there? We don't have a road map. We can't Google it yet. The Google map. You know about that, don't you? He provides a way to get there. And that's Himself. Jesus Himself. His life. His death. His resurrection, His ascension, and His promise to return for us. He even says, when it comes time, I'll come get you. I'll come get you. And we believe as Christians, Protestant Christians, that when we die, our spirit goes to be with God. The spirit leaves us. Right? Amen. It's only a body. It's only a shell. We preach that. His spirit is with Jesus. But then, we plant the body, or cremate the body, or whatever we do with the body. And then He has promised to come back and call these bodies from the grave or wherever they are and give us a resurrected body, a special body, and even take that body, unite it with the Spirit, and why it's like this, I don't understand it all. I don't have to. I just got to trust Jesus going to take care of it all. And I'm trusting Him. Because I certainly am not, is it smart enough to figure it all out? Yeah, take His word for it. The just shall live by faith. And I've been justified not by my knowledge, not by my understanding, not by my comprehension, but through my faith. And even Jesus gave me that faith. And I certainly don't understand that. He loves us. Read the scripture lesson again, if you will. It talks about the beautiful flowers, the lilies. There's a club, daylily club. I have a friend that's in that. Talked to another and said, we're raising daylilies. I said, huh? I thought he was a fisherman and a hunter, and he's raising daylilies now. Wow! I see daylilies as things you have to really take care of and be gentle with. This guy's always going out and catching fish and eating them and then shooting a deer, I guess, and whatever. And, well, I guess he's got a widespread interest, right? But lilies, just watch the lilies. I like to see lilies that grew up around our house and they come up and they're not here with us long, but they're so beautiful. And Jesus says, oh, said, that's nothing to how God cares for you. God cares for you more than these lilies that He does. Then He goes on to say, talk about sparrows. How many love sparrows? How many catch sparrows and put them in cages and nobody tries to raise more sparrows? Nobody? What's wrong with us? We do parakeets and parrots and what's those other favorite birds or whatever? Finches, yeah. Incidentally, I'm from a family of finches, okay? That's the truth. People don't like sparrows much. Jesus said they ain't worth much. But He used them to illustrate. Even back in His day, sparrows were not worth very much. But He says, God cares for them. God loves them. And He says, if He loves a sparrow, He certainly loves you. Yeah, He loves me. He cares for them. Jesus said, I will come back and take you to be with me. Again, the young life singers. Come and go with me. God loves us. He's provided a place for us, but then That's not all. It's not just way out there in the sweet by and by that we can enjoy Jesus. Did you know that? It's not just in the sweet by and by or after this life that God is going to take care of us. He takes care of us in this life. If, here's an if to it, we'll let Him. If we'll let Him. He exercised His care for us while we are still here on this earth. Somebody has put it this way. It is providing providence, it's overshadowing providence, and it's sustaining providence. Our God provides for us through His, because He cares. His care of us is He provides for our needs. He shall supply all of your needs. Paul wrote to the Philippians, according to His riches in glory, or His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. One way there. He gives His overarching or overshadowing protection to us, care for us, life in general, and then He sustains us. In the wilderness, the Israelites had left Egypt. And they were traveling to the promised land, the land that God was going to take them back to. 400 years previously, their ancestor, Jacob, and his children had left and gone to Egypt. Well, God had provided for their care there because the brothers thought they were hurting Joseph. They sold him to some travelers, and he ended up in Egypt, a high official in the government, in charge of the Department of Agriculture or the granary. And when there's a famine back in Canaan, where Jacob lived, where Joseph's family lived, father and brothers, they heard that, well, there's a bunch of grain down in Egypt. So they took off down to Egypt to find it. And lo and behold, can you say that in church? Lo and behold. Lo and behold, they found their brother there. They didn't even recognize him. But God provided for them. 66 of them, or 72, according to how you count, picked up and moved down there and lived. And their ancestors, their descendants lived, and God provided for them all this time. And finally, when things got so tough for them, they couldn't stand it anymore, they were being treated like slaves, God provided a way for them to get back to the land of Canaan. God's provision in the wilderness, they provided. Even when they were complaining, when they were grumbling, when they were griping and saying, why did we ever come out to this God-forsaken place? God was right there with them. They just thought they were God-forsaken. And God was right there with them, providing for their every need. Food, they got tired of manna, He gave them quail, and He provided all the way. Elijah, later on, Elijah was in the country. Famine came. God provided for him. And then the multitudes that followed Jesus. The disciples said, Jesus, these people are, it's a big crowd. They're 5,000 at least men. What are we going to do? We think it's time for you to send them away and tell them to go eat supper and maybe come back for an evening service. Matthew chapter 14. And Jesus says, we're not going to send them away. We're going to feed them. Fed 5,000 of them. Another time He fed 4,000. A similar situation. So God's provided. And then for believers, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian Christians, my God shall provide your every need through Jesus Christ. And then there's that overshadowing providence. And that's in time of trouble. Psalm 57. Refuge from the storm. The Isaiah in chapter 25. In the shadow of His hand, Isaiah 51, and under the shadow of his wings. And I like what Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. And it was getting close to the time that he was going to be crucified. I think 26, Matthew 26 is where he met with the disciples, instituted the Last Supper on the night which he was betrayed, went out from the supper, he was betrayed, and then the next day he was crucified, okay? After a mockery of a trial. And he looks out over Jerusalem. And you may have seen, my mother had this picture in our house, hanging on the wall, had Jesus kind of looking over the city, kind of sitting up in the mountains. And the scripture is Matthew 23:37. And Jesus says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you killed the prophets," or "you who killed the prophets and stoned them sent to you," the ones that God had sent to them. "How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." God won't force us. He won't come and twist our arm and drag us into fellowship with him. But he desires that we come if we are willing. Then 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, Peter writes to the Christians. I think the book opens, this book opens with the Christians who are scattered because of the persecution. He says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." The overshadowing providence. And then there is sustaining. He sustains us with his providence. Supporting the weak. Isaiah chapter 41 says, "Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." And he goes on to say, he says this to Isaiah, "I will strengthen you and help you." And then stop there. He says, "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." He helps us when we're weak. Or if we are weak, he helps us. And then he preserves the faithful. Proverbs 2:8 says, "He guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful one." Paul wrote to Timothy, chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, giving his testimony, his faith, expressing his faith in God. "The Lord will rescue me," he says, "from every evil attack." Oh, we're afraid to do this. We might be attacked. "The Lord will rescue me," Paul says, "and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom." So if they kill us, if we're serving the Lord, we'll go to heaven. And then Paul goes on to say, "To him be the glory forever and ever." Three things to say about God's providence. Three things. He acts as he pleases. It's not as we want him to do. He acts as he pleases. He is in charge. He's the thinker. He's the one that makes the big decisions. Okay? He may hear what we want and grant it. There's scriptures that says if we pray, he'll give it to us. But if it's only if it's according to his will. And sometimes we ask for things that we really don't need. Right? Okay. He never forsakes his people. He never forsakes us. He forsook his son, but on behalf of his people. And that was for a short period of time. And his providence, or his care, embraces the whole world. It's not just the United States. It's the whole world. All this is written to the whole world. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that you care enough for us to send Jesus. What's the number? 47? He cares for you. God will take care of you. Let's stand together, sing the first two verses. And maybe you would claim what Jesus did for you on Calvary, providing for your eternity. Amen and amen.
Thank you.